What's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mentally Entangled podcast. I hope that everybody has had a good day full of productivity and especially heading right into what hopefully is a relaxing weekend for everyone. Productivity is actually going to be one of the key words today, and you guys will understand soon. But before we kind of do that, I do want you to do some reflecting. I want you to ask yourself a question. When you think back at how this week has rolled out, what would you rate your productivity rate from 1 to 10? 10 being, I have been the most productive I've ever been in my life. 1 being, I just feel like I just have not been able to get anything done today. And I want you to remember that number. And I want you to remember that number for the rest of this episode. And then afterwards, you're going to have some other questions that you're probably going to be wanting to ask yourself. Because if that number was really low, maybe after this episode, you have the right tools to be able to increase that number a little bit closer to 10. And if you were already up closer to 10, you're going to be learning about some of the things that you need to make sure that you're doing in order to maintain that consistently. But in order to have that conversation, I do have a really special guest with me today. And he's going to be able to introduce himself and all of his credentials because he's very good at speaking himself. But Peter, how are you?
I'm good, SB. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I'm very excited to have you on.
And I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And you, we've had conversations kind of similar to this before. So I think that this will roll out just the way that we need it to. And I think what we will talk about today is going to be really beneficial to some of the listeners.
I believe so.
Before we head into just the meat of it, introduce yourself. What do we need to know about you?
What do you need to know? That I like to talk.
Beyond that, who are you?
I am Peter Taylor. Background in me is... a father, a husband, which I think are always the first things that identify me. Mm-hmm. In ministry for over 25 years, studies in child welfare and psychology. Dun, dun, dun. There we go. Educated, self-educated, but educated all the same in mental health because I found myself working with local government. It was something I think that needed a voice at the time and needed to be addressed. And I wanted to make sure that I was speaking the language and doing it a good service. Fell in love with it. And ironically enough, it fell right off into the lap of ministry and everything else that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it opened up a huge scope for me to identify different issues. The more I got educated on it, the more I got an understanding of what I was dealing with was not just generational habits or bad manners, but some sort of mental health issues that needed to be addressed, whether they were minor or major.
Mm. Okay. I do want to ask you kind of the original question, but before we do that, so what do you do today? What are your main passions, goals?
I love fitness, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we kind of cross paths at. I love fitness. I'm 57, right?
57 years young.
God bless you, bro. Thank God this is not TV. But yeah, 57 years young. And I think you're right. And that's the goal, is to be 57 years young. So I'm passionate about health. I'm passionate about fitness in its totality, functional movement, which I think people kind of forget about and it goes about the way. But also I'm passionate about recovery. And I've hung my hat up in the last year on functional movements and recovery. And I don't want to go too far into that because I'm going to touch base on that later. Okay. But something to think about that is really how to recover. And recovery doesn't start when something breaks.
And if we want to relate it to the main topic of today,
absolutely,
you can only be productive if you also recover.
100%.
And we'll get more into that
as well.
We're
going to dive in. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some good statistics and things that can show, and we'll talk about that. But I think people think that something has to be broke or something has to be wrong in order to recover.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case.
Well, that's it. In my profession as a therapist, I won't get somebody to sit in front of me until just all chaos has broken loose. And then they're like, please fix me. Please fix me. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, that's not how this works.
That's right.
Second of all, you couldn't have come 6 months ago when the first bad thing happened, right?
Well, here's the joke. When I get men, and we give men a hard time, and sometimes we deserve it. But if you react faster to the red light in your car when it tells you something's wrong, and you don't react to your own health when your body's giving you a signal, then your priorities are wrong.
Yeah.
Because the body gives you small signals. The brain gives you small signals. And we chalk it off as, oh, it's just this or it's this, that, until it's compiled and you say, well, my God, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was trying to hit you on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, something's coming down the line 100%. If you don't take care of the small thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Small things can be large things if not cared for.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, you're already saying too much. So let's do a pause. I do have to ask you, like I said, the question I ask everybody when I bring them on to kind of set the tone. If I asked you to define mental health and what it means to you, what would you say?
Daily recovery.
Explain.
And I will explain. Mental health. Here, let's deal with biblical principles. God says, I'm going to give you new grace and new mercies daily. He says, I'm going to give you manna, new manna, daily. He reminds us that this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. He's telling you, vision is great, but I want to order your steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so mental health should be treated like that, step by step, daily, waking up daily, having an understanding, which I love, because even though we talk about this, this is the day the Lord has made, rejoice, and he's telling you to rejoice. Well, how do you rejoice? You have to trust somebody with your yesterday.
Mm.
You have to. A lot of our anguish comes from what we did, what we said, what we didn't do yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Why is your beginning of your day so overloaded if you can't trust somebody with your yesterday? You can't rejoice.
Yeah.
Because you're anguished, you're tight, and you can't get no joy tight. And so that's what mental health means to me today. Wake up in the morning and start fresh.
Yeah.
No matter what, start fresh. Know that whatever went wrong yesterday was yesterday. Right?
I
can
like
only
that.
Hold you accountable for what you do right now.
That's true. And I want to bring the idea of control into that. Right? Because serenity prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You can only control the things that you can control, right? You need to be able to have the wisdom to know when there's those things that you cannot.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we are taught how to do that properly. We're taught to analyze, compare, critique. That's what we're taught from when we're really, really little.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we're taught how to separate when that needs to happen and when that doesn't need to be happening.
You'll be a parent one day. I'm a parent now. I'm a new grandfather. How many times have our parents told us to say, I'm sorry? Go say you're sorry.
Oof, yeah.
How many times have your parents told you to forgive yourself?
Never, I don't think.
I'm going to tell you, forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Say you're sorry to yourself and forgive yourself. That's it. Make it a habit, because what it turns out to is grace. That's all it turns out to.
Yeah.
It's grace. If you can forgive somebody and give somebody else grace, then you certainly can do it for yourself. And we have to learn that. That's when we start to alleviate the weight off of ourselves and the unrealistic expectations.
And I
want to be clear when I say this, and then we'll go, but unrealistic expectation doesn't mean that you have a plan and it's not realistic.
Mm.
Unrealistic expectation means you're taking too much of the plan that you have for yourself on at that moment.
Okay. Because you're not separating it into those phases.
We need to separate it into steps so that you're not overloaded.
Yeah.
And that way you give yourself grace. I can't go 0 to 100.
No one can.
But if I can go 0 to 10,
mm-hmm.
that's okay. The expectation, I may get to 100. If I don't, I don't. But I can't overload myself with 100 when I haven't reached 10.
100%.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Makes complete sense. I'm going to learn so much today. I love it. Okay. But you mentioned...
You're flattery.
You mentioned at the beginning when you were defining that mental health piece, you mentioned the idea of starting fresh.
Yeah.
So what do? When you wake up in the morning, let's say you did have a really terrible day. Because, I mean, yes, you're Peter, but you have bad days too.
I have awful days.
So how what do you do to make sure that initial start button is just clean?
The world is noisy, Espy.
True.
The world is noisy. My wife would tell you, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There have to be times where you beat the world before it starts making noise. Because noise is distraction.
True.
And what are you going to distract yourself from is your self-care. If I get up in the morning and I pray, I pray. I often say, I don't never want to get so overwhelmed with life that if God wanted to speak to me, I'd miss it. I don't never want to miss that opportunity. Get up before the world starts making noise. And do something for yourself, whether you're going to fix yourself coffee, listen to some spirituals, meditate, stretch, do the things that are going to be conducive to making you the better person going out that door. Which means now you have to do one thing, exercise discipline. You have to get up before the world gets noisy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's difficult because we're creatures of habit. I get up, if I can get up at 5 o'clock, I got to be to work at 7. I know how much time I got to spend in the bathroom, how much time I got to get downstairs, yeah. How much time I got to get my lunch and stuff together. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the road. And I know if I don't get there at a certain time, I'm going to be behind traffic.
The minute you start
the
behind.
The noise already started.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
In your head.
And one behind moment leads into another behind moment.
Total chaos.
Yeah.
And then you never enjoy peace.
Yeah.
Right? You never enjoy peace. Mental illness is really just a battle of the weeds in your head.
Mm.
Always struggling to try to clear a path. Clear a path. I want to clear a path so I can see where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of us take work home. We go to sleep. We think about, I'm good at that. And I wrestle with it. I don't sleep because I'm always processing. My mind's always processing.
You can't turn it off.
And then I wake up and I'm exhausted.
Even though you technically slept, you were thinking while you were sleeping. Oh, yeah. That happens to me all the time.
And so you have to learn. And we'll talk about, there's some things, and you're going to laugh because I taught you this. I didn't teach you this. I shared this technique with you about a year ago. And you probably forgot it because, you know. That's
man, you just don't have any belief in me. That's what I'm sensing.
No, that's not it. I'm being facetious, but yeah, there's some practices and some tools I think are beneficial to being able to get up early. That's the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath. Right, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Take one deep breath.
Yeah.
That's it.
I like that. Okay. Okay. So. I don't even, it's hard to know where to start with you because I know you're going to just connect all the pieces. But I think number one, define what productivity is then. Because that's going to be kind of, I mean, you've hinted at it a couple times now, but that will be like what we focus on mainly today. And in fact, I want to quote you directly because when I asked you, you know, what the main message was that you wanted to kind of pass on today, it was the idea of operating at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So define, well, let's define that instead of productivity. How would you define the idea of operating at 100%?
Okay. When I gave you this, it's because something that I teach on and I focus on a lot. Most of us operate at minimal capability. What do I mean? Let's put it into percentages. Most of us operate somewhere between 50 and 60% of our capability. So if I say you have the opportunity of operating at 100%, that means you're missing 40% of what you may have to offer. Offer who? Family, friends, loved ones, things that are closest to us, work productivity, mental health state, physical state. Everything that encompasses us, we have more to give. Well, how do you get there? You have to allow yourself to recover.
Okay.
Well, how do you recover? Practice. I have 2 hip replacements and a knee replacement I had 6 months ago, roughly six, maybe a little more than 6 months ago. People are always amazed at how I recover.
Yeah.
Simply because I started to plan for my recovery before the injury occurred.
Mm. Yeah, because you were still working out and strength training before.
I was doing everything functionally I need to do to recover before I even had the operation.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to identify with issues. If I'm not getting sleep, why? What's overwhelming me? Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm emotional, why? What's making me emotional? What are my triggers? Do I need a therapist? I may do, but I need to figure out what's making me operate at less of my best capability. What an awful parent I would be when I'm raising a child and my child gets me frustrated because they don't do things right. And I get frustrated. I look at my child and I get frustrated. It drives me nuts why this child does not give it his best. And then I realize what I see in my child are my shortcomings. Because I taught him how to operate at 50%.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I don't like it. And then I realize my wife gets to see me at 50%. My children get to see me at 50%. My job gets to see me at 50%. My family, friends, and lovers get to see me at 50%. I've been cheating everything that I love by not allowing myself to rest, recover, and be my best. Now, here's the truth of the matter. You may never even reach 100%. But if you reach 90 or 95%, is it not better than 40%?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If you're 40% and something happens, now you're down to 20.
Mm-hmm.
You're struggling bad, right? Mentally, you're struggling. I've been there. Dealing with mental illness, I've been there. And if you're not prepared to be able to deal with the conflicts that go between the ears, then what do? You're struggling. Once you start to struggle and it starts to overwhelm you, you lose hope. Right? You lose hope. That's what happens the most. You lose hope. And when you lose hope, you lose yourself and you lose your identity. That's always a struggle anyway. Yeah. Who am I?
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
So that's what I meant. And so being prepared to identify with your triggers, what gets you to feeling like that? What gets you feeling less than what you normally are?
Mm-hmm.
Working on them. Practice. You're an athlete. I'm an athlete. Well, I was an athlete back in the 70s. Don't laugh.
Sorry, too late. Eric came out. You should have asked before.
But it's to make light of it, because you have to be light. You can't be too heavy. But here's the thing. Why do you practice? What do you practice for? Just in case this happens, I need you to know how to react. Just in case that happens, I need you to know how to react. And you cannot walk through practice. You have to practice
like you're
in real time, because life is going to come at you in real time.
Yeah.
And you need to know how to react, when to react, and how not to react.
Yeah. So here's, to summarize what I'm hearing you kind of mention, is that in order for me to operate as close as I can to 100%, I need to be really good at two things. Having self-awareness. And being able to do the preventative work.
Beautiful.
And under preventative work, I would include rest, recovery. I would include consistent self-care. I would include things like being able to identify emotions, triggers, and asking yourself the hard questions as well. Yeah. Questions that are going to make you uncomfortable. I put all of that under there. And then when I'm talking about the self-awareness piece, that's where I can't do any of that preventative work unless first I try to understand why, kind of like how you mentioned. I question, why am I not operating at 100% or close to it?
And here's some great tips on how to do that, right? And, and here's some things. You probably have heard of check-in cards.
Check-in?
Check-in cards.
Yeah, 100%. Okay.
So check-in cards were simply just create simple cards with mood scales.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh, we love those.
And so, right, because what it does is, if you can't break through in conversation visually.
Yeah.
You can see it.
I have another resource.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to teach you about it
today. I got several of them I want to share with you right now.
Because have you heard about the Mood app?
The Mood app. Yep. The Mood Meter apps. Yes.
Those are really good.
That's actually the second one that I have that I think is good. The Feeling Jar, which is the third one. Buddy System, which I think is so important. Now, I'm blessed. I'm married. Right? And as masculine as I can be, I've learned that when I'm having issues, that I drop the foals down and I can turn to my wife. I know she'll never judge me. She'll never berate me or belittle me. And I can sit there and I can share what's going on with me.
Yeah.
She knows that she doesn't have to have an answer, but it's an outlet.
Yeah.
It's for me a chance to get it off of me.
Yeah.
To someone I trust.
Mm-hmm.
And always we got to find somebody that you trust, that you know don't always have an answer.
Yeah.
Because there's not always an answer to what you're going through.
You don't always need an answer either.
Mm-hmm. You just need to get that weight off sometimes, right? Yeah. And so we use that. Mindful moments.
Explain those.
Okay. Mindful moments in my notes says suggest short mindful practices like breathing exercises or gratitude journaling.
Gratitude. That's a big one.
Right. For me, people often watch me worship. And I worship because I know what I've been through.
Mm.
And I love everything I've been through because it brings me here today in front of you, right? But I'm always mindful of what God has already done for me. Mm. And it excites me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember where I was. I know where I could have been, but I'm not. And because I use God as an outlet. Now, you have to find whatever higher power you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm non-judgmental in that. I just need you to know at some point that you're not always in control.
You have to believe in something greater than yourself.
You have
what
to.
That is up to you.
That's up to you. Up to you. But you need to have something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you're going to have that acceptance of, man, you know what? I didn't do this myself. But also know that there's something way of getting out of it as well. So, and my last one is simply story sharing sessions, which goes hand in hand with what else we talked about. Share your stories. The benefit of sharing your stories is when you put all the weight on yourself and you think, woe is me, I'm the only one that's going through this. And the person that you're talking to
says, you'll
believe it. You too?
Right.
You're going through the same thing? Get out of here. That's why it's important for you to share your stories.
Yeah.
So story sharing. Those are some of the things that I've come up with. And I think what it does is it helps, in turn, create some empathy and some awareness, not only with you, but to your circle.
Yeah.
Right? A shine a light on something that may be in a dark place already.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so I want to flip the script a little bit, look at the other side of it.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that, you know, I can go ahead and implement, but I have to kind of already know that my operation is not where I need it to be, right? My recovery, my self-care is not where it needs to be. But how do I get to the point where I'm able to actually recognize those barriers? Like, what should I be watching out for in order to be able to recognize that I'm not operating at 100%?
I think for you, here it is. Mm-hmm. You know when you're overwhelmed.
Okay.
You know when you're tired,
mm-hmm.
right? You know when you start taking things home and you're losing sleep, you're feeling sick, you're feeling tired, all the things that go into a person who's not getting the proper rest. And it's affecting your mental state. You're not thinking clearly. You're short with people. You're yelling with people. You're unfriendly. All those things are keys. The hard part is this, is that introspectively, you have to take a look at yourself.
Mm.
That's the hard part.
Right. Well, and I'm going to add the second hardest part, be honest. Because you can look at yourself and lie all day. I can tell myself I'm the most attractive person
We're
on this
good
planet.
At that. Right? Yeah, well, you're close to it. Second.
Thank you. Because you're first, of course. I knew it was coming. I know you too well now. See, I can see that coming.
My wife would have went first, but thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, you're right. And because we do that. I think one of the biggest things or the biggest cause of a lot of mental illness is judgment.
Mm.
Right? The one thing I think that destroying the world today probably is differences.
Right.
Differences. What is it we talk about all the time is diversity, differences, and can't think of the other D right now to come to me. But when we look at a place that has social media all the time,
mm-hmm.
we're always on.
Yeah.
It's like a stage.
Yeah.
Right? And you want what they want. I want what they want. I want to look like that. I want to do that. It becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
And what may have started out as innocent and don't care, but if you keep picking it up to look to check.
Yeah.
To see how many people like me.
Mm.
Then you stop liking yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You start looking at the differences that you have. Stop being beautiful. Because now you're comparing yourself to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think when we teach this, I'm sorry, when you teach this, we teach this in church quite a bit. Differences, diversity, right? Mm-hmm. So our differences can either cause division or diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what our differences do. And it comes with accepting yourself. I learned something a long time ago, Espy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
About?
I don't care about what people think about me.
Okay, why?
Right. I'll give you some background on me.
Okay.
I went to a Roman Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
99.9% white. I got bussed in. I bussed out to a 99.9% black neighborhood.
Mm.
I left for school wearing this white shirt with this green tie with this gold crescent on, these gray pants with these black piping down the side,
mm-hmm.
and some Buster Brown shoes.
I'm imagining you in that outfit right now. It's not a pretty picture.
You need to see the class pictures.
Right.
Not good. But here's the problem. I was too white for my black friends.
Mm-hmm.
Too black for my white friends.
Mm-hmm.
And struggled with my identity. Not because I wasn't secure with myself. Because I was trying to please everybody else.
Correct.
And I wrecked myself trying to be that. Because I wanted my friends. Somewhere along the line, I was okay with what I was. When I found out I was a good athlete, so that brought everybody together, but I was a nerd. I could sit on the museum steps and be okay.
Mm.
Right? So I got to hang out with the people that weren't liked as much and still be one of the cool kids. But I fell in love with who I was. Although it was difficult, today I don't care what you think. My intentions are good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a me first. So to answer your question, how do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
Put you first. Surrender. Know when there's a problem and put you first.
I like that. I was, I'm looking down at my notes because one of the things that misleads us when we're younger, everybody always asks us, what do you want to be when you grow up? Not very many people ask you, why do you want to be that way, right? It's a different question.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding not just, and I'm going to relate this back to the idea of operating at 100%. I will never be able to operate even close to 100% if I'm doing something that isn't actually even me.
With the wrong intent, yeah.
Correct, absolutely. Yeah. So if all I'm thinking about is something that I want to become, rather than taking the moment to understand maybe what I already am,
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to be good at whatever it is that I choose at the end of the day. And I'm going to be really unfulfilled.
Yeah.
I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be annoyed. I'm going to be irritated. I'm going to be pissed.
All the things.
All the things.
Absolutely.
Right? And so one of the things I kind of heard you say right now is like, I have to be honest enough to recognize if that's the path that I've gone down. If that's where I'm finding myself is unfulfilled. Like I can't just continue to be 50% and just show up because it's making my check and paying my bills, because then that'll turn into a pattern.
It's a habit. And mm-hmm. this is what happens. You create a pattern or habits of being able to operate in less of your capability.
And then you start to assume that your 50% is your 100%. And I think that's what we're hitting on right now. Right? That's why I asked you the question, absolutely. How would I know?
Yeah.
And that's the answer right there.
Let me give you some tools.
Okay.
I think this will be good. So here it is. I got some notes here, and it's going to tell you what it looks like in today's society being at close to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Physical health, regular exercise and a balanced diet, mm-hmm. and adequate sleep.
Okay.
You go sleep normal. Mental well-being, feeling emotionally stable,
mm-hmm.
managing stress effectively, and having a positive outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is what it looks like to have the healthy side of it all, right? Social connections, maintaining healthy relationships with family and friends, and having a support system. Mm. Work-life balance, engaging in fulfilling work while also having time for hobbies, relaxation, and family.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the juxtaposition.
Okay.
What I mean by juxtaposition is not being at 100%. Mm. Increased stress, mental health, increased stress, anxiety, and depression can occur when individuals feel what? Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
This can lead to burnout and emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
Right? Relationships, lack of energy and emotional availability, constrained family dynamics.
Inability to be present. I want to add that one. Big one.
Those are huge, especially when we're talking about family dynamics. 100%. Right? You come home, you kick your shoes off, you say how you're doing, you don't really mean it, and you're gone.
Going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Leading to misunderstandings, conflict.
Yeah. Big one.
Mm-hmm. So here's the problem with that one. And this is near and dear. If you don't have a home that has peace and it lives in conflict, then now you're raising mental illness.
Mm.
You're bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because now we believe that operating in chaos is what we're supposed to do.
Well, and you're not just raising it, you're nurturing it.
You're nurturing it.
You're feeding into
absolutely.
That. Yeah.
And here, big thing is a lack of intimacy. Let's not mix up intimacy with sex, because that's not what it is.
Correct. Yeah.
It's the ability to care about somebody deeper than just the outside.
Yeah.
Your husband, your wife, your kids, even the dogs and cats,
mm-hmm.
they will go through it as well. Mm-hmm. And we laugh about it. If they're a part of your family, they feel it as well.
That's true.
Right? And that's just the truth of the matter. Productivity. Reduced focus and motivation can hinder performance at work and at school, impacting overall success and, better yet, satisfaction. So let's talk about the importance of rest really quickly, because that's going to be the key.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's going to be the key to all of this here.
Okay.
And since I have it here, we'll go ahead and go over it, which is rest is crucial for both mental and physical recovery. And here's a breakdown of how rest impacts different age groups.
Okay.
The expectation for children 0 to 12 is 9 to 12 hours. The average of what they're getting, 8.
Yeah.
Teens 13 to 18, 8 to 10. The average of what they're getting is 7.
Yeah, I was about to say 6 or 7.
There's a caveat here. Just let me get there, because there's a caveat here. Adults, 19 to 64, 7 to 9. Mm. What they're getting, 6.5.
Wait, what age group was that?
19 to 64. Yeah, right.
That is a big chunk.
here's what this graph is missing. I did the research and I was gotten, especially when I put it down there, because I should have added this. This is not including the time spent on social devices. So if you spend 2 or 3 hours on social devices, it subtracts but adds on what you're not getting.
Yeah. Right?
So there's the caveat there. So we're missing out on a lot of it. The importance of rest is so important. We go up importance of rest, and I'll give this right back to you. I just want to get this out, because physical recovery, sleeping downtown, allow the body to repair itself.
Yeah. People don't realize how much actually happens while you're sleeping. People assume like, oh, if I'm sleeping, that's it. Everything's turned. No. Just to prove that, memory.
Yes.
Memory, actually, one of the main things that you need in order to place an idea, a thought, event into your long term is to hit that REM sleep.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's one example. Absolutely. Continue. Sorry.
Listen, I'm here with you, and I agree with you 100%. Here's the biggest thing. Not only are you talking about repairing itself, it's essential for immune function and overall health.
100%, yeah.
So if you're not resting, you're not recovering, you're sick and you're suffering.
Yeah, why do you think you get sick all the time?
That's
especially
it.
One,
that's...
And then you add seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
People right now getting sick out the wazoo, Peter. Oh my goodness.
And not just one sickness. Mm-mm. Repetitively getting sick over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our society's not cut out for us to rest and recover.
Right. And rather than try to question, okay, maybe I'm missing something, let's just take some medicine. Right. Rather than do the work and try to figure out why this is, let's just take some medicine and move on with our lives. Yeah. So that's a big one.
I tell you, here's a quote I have from Dr. Matthew Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a leading sleep scientist. And he states this: sleep is the single most effective thing. It sounds so simple. Sleep is the single most effective thing we can do to reset our brain and our body health each day, it just reiterated what you said.
Yeah.
Right? Resting, cognizantly resting, recovering, allowing the body and the mind to connect back together mm-hmm. again, because we often disconnect them.
Yes. Yeah, now you're really speaking my language. Yeah. We like to put them in two different categories.
Yes.
And we pretend
yes.
that one doesn't affect the other. It's impossible to separate them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're honest, it's impossible.
Yeah. We often, I got to share this because this is good for me. And it's one of those moments I had the aha moments,
mm-hmm.
right? Dr. Samuel Chan says you should always have an aha moment at least once a day, mm-hmm. right? When we talk about finding a spouse that's equally yoked, what exactly does that mean?
It depends who you ask.
If you're only operating on 50%. So you got a spouse that's operating at 50%.
Well, because that's what you were looking for, right?
Yeah. you're showing I'm good at 50%.
Mm-hmm.
You're attracted to what you are, which is 50%.
Yeah.
And you're struggling.
And now you got two 50% people wondering why they can't be 100%.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So before we start looking for anything, because here's the dangers of that. Somewhere along the line, if he or she have both operated 50% and you're in a relationship, it's a downward spiral to physical and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Both will deteriorate at a rapid pace. And neither one of you will be qualified to notice or to fix it until it implodes.
Correct. Yeah.
Those are the dangers.
Yeah.
Right? So what do? Someone has to rest. Or better yet, if you're not in a relationship and you're thinking about it, make sure you're close to 90%.
Yeah.
If not 100.
Yeah. Also be aware if you are closer to the 90, you got to make sure that what you're looking for is matching the number, right?
It's got to.
Yeah.
It's
I'm not talking about somebody being a 10 out of 10 attractiveness. No. That's
cute
not.
Cute is cute.
Right.
But cute ain't always healthy.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Because your 90 matched to 50 will now, come down quick.
Correct. You will. Yeah.
Right. It'll come down
because
quick.
Because we are.
Because
that's
you're gonna
human
spend
nature.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
energy
mm-hmm.
trying to build it up.
Correct.
And the first thing we do is neglect ourselves.
Yeah.
Trying to fix somebody else.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I had to share that because I think when we talk about it, I even talk to my clients, I said, man, we look at people and they complain about their spouses, they complain about dating, but you're not healthy enough to date.
Right. Exactly.
You're not in good shape.
Exactly. And there's I always hear the term, am I ready or not? No, that's not the question we should be asking. Are you healthy enough or not?
Yeah.
That, I would love to know the answer to that. So, yeah.
That's trial and error. Mm-hmm. It comes with challenges, but you don't want to add on to something because you're not prepared for it.
100%.
I mean, even worst case scenario, rejection is tougher when you're not at 100%.
Yeah, that's also true. Again, because you haven't done the preventative work. So now you're already going in at a low number.
Absolutely.
More
and
something else.
And if you're hurt, you mm-hmm. lean on to other things instead of being strong enough to pull yourself up.
100%. Yeah.
And we talk about that. There it is. That impaired decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment, lack of rest affects cognitive function. You talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Making it difficult to make sound decisions regarding our parenting discipline and daily routines. Safety concerns. Fatigue can lead up to lapse of judgment, potentially increasing risk of household safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those things. All the things.
Yeah.
All the things.
A lot of negative consequences can come from lack of rest.
Yeah. Absolutely. We talked about neglecting neglecting your self-care.
Yeah.
This is a good note here. Parents who lack rest may neglect their own health, leading to burnout and decreased ability to care for their children effectively.
Yeah. And I want to bring something up.
Yeah.
Here. We like to make excuses for why we don't take care of ourselves. I don't have time. I'm too busy. That's too much money, right? There's a million, because there's going to be people who listen today. And the minute you say, oh, you need to prioritize this, they're going to be already, brain's going to start clicking why I shouldn't do it, why I can't do it.
Yeah.
That is sometimes the biggest barrier. And until you come to realize and accept that this has to be number one.
Yeah.
Until you really have the education to be able to make that connection, you're going to continue to put it on the back burner.
It's worth. Mm-hmm. It's worth, right? You say make a connection. We have learned inherently to take care of other things. So everything is outward going. Everything's going out. Mm-hmm. Because it would be taboo to sit there and say, oh my God, I said sit home and just rest.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good today. It's okay not to feel good today. And I don't feel good today. I need to rest. I need to sleep.
Yeah.
I need to recover. Because what happens is we forget what we're worth. You know how many clients I've taken, and they come in and they have that story. Man, I don't want diabetes. I don't want a heart attack. My parents are dying this way. And something must happen this way. This must happen that way. Here's the price. I can't afford it. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Correct. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That sounds so mean.
But again, it's the, they don't have the cognition to be able to, like, they don't know how to see that.
Because our priorities stop being ourselves first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Parents often make the biggest mistake of putting their kids before everything else.
Yeah. Or husbands and wives will put the relationships that they have with their kids before the marriage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's mm-hmm. We could do that a whole hour and a half for that.
Right.
Right? Because that's the truth. Because if dad is not mentally healthy, and mom's not mentally healthy, then I can in turn raise you the right way. We've talked about it. We touched base on that. But here's the thing. We often don't want to take the expense on taking care of ourselves because we figure we can funnel it into something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, what you're connected to. My biggest scare is this, that I have not done myself due diligence enough to where, I want to put it the right way. I don't want my kids to take care of me.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know they will. I want my wife to take care of me. So I put myself first. You know me from working out.
Yeah.
But you don't know how much I don't like it.
Right.
It doesn't show.
Right.
But I don't like it because I'm 57.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is I can't throw up the weight that I want to throw up and be as strong as I used to be. And so mentally, mm-hmm. I'm still there and I have to transition. I laugh because I come home and my wife will say, well, you're comparing yourself to 20 and 30 year olds.
Right.
Right. That's exactly. My reality. And I get it. And I'm grateful for her kind
shout out.
Words.
Shout out to your wife for keeping you in check. Yes.
And that's my reality. But I don't want to miss an event because I didn't try.
Mm.
I don't want to be not present at the weddings. And mm-hmm. I just became a grandpa, right? Best thing in the world.
Right.
I got to work out for real now.
Right.
He's a boy.
Right.
Right? And so I have to do these things because I owe it to them to be as close to 100% as possible.
See, but you see how you have a purpose? Everything you're saying right now.
We all have a purpose. Mm-hmm. I was the other guy, so don't get it wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm the other guy, man. I'll do it myself. That's the same mentality.
Mm.
Because we all need help in some place or another. We laughed, I think we talked about it. The only time I get a good workout is when someone's training me.
Yeah.
When I'm not in control.
Yeah.
Right? Because I talk myself out of it real quick. And I'll leave and I won't come back.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Those are the same things that mental health issues bother us with. And mm-hmm. operating at 100% bothers us with. Man, I'm okay. I'm okay. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first tore my shoulder, Espy, I was the man of the year. It's all right. It just hurts. I'm going to go work out. Yeah. I was lifting 10. I was with Montevallo. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm getting it. Got the hundreds and I'm getting it. And it hurts. Until one day I got up and I couldn't get it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was hurt.
Yeah.
What was I doing? I got used to saying it's okay. Mm-hmm. I can operate outside of my strongest point.
Exactly. You had justified operating at 70%.
I was making a fool out of myself too. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand it no more. And I was so far. This is what I learned. The reality is my recovery not only starts before the injury or the issue. But you're usually about a year and a half to 2 years out of full recovery.
Mm.
Just to get back to where you left off at.
Right.
Where the incident or the trauma, in some cases, happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talk about mental illness. I'm going to share another story. I shared a story with you offline. I'm going to share another story with you that happened with me. And it has to do with recovery and the avoidance of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I shared earlier about us losing a child, my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife would talk about it, and I would be dismissive. She would talk about it, be like, okay, babe. All right, babe. Mm. Okay, babe. Wasn't being mean. Just didn't want to talk about it. Why can't she let it go? What right. happened? We recovered. We're all right. It's years later.
Right.
Sounds so mean and so insensitive, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter just had a baby. And we went into the doctor. I'm trying not to cry.
You're okay.
And as soon as we went in, it was about 7 minutes, and they were rushing her in to have an emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. And as they were rushing her in, I was in the room alone by myself. And all I could remember was the time I lost a child. Mm-hmm. And I'm alone, and I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I realized I wasn't recovered. Mm-mm. I had pushed my recovery away by just kind of saying, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And a trigger showed up. And I'm sitting there and I'm emotional and overwhelmed. I'm short of breath. I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a room by myself. In a hospital, and I don't know the outcome.
Yeah.
Anxiety out of the world.
Yeah.
When she came in that room, it went silent because I was waiting for her to relieve me.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to lift that weight. I had pretended that I had recovered from a trauma that happened a long time ago. And because it never showed up again, I didn't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And I controlled my outcome and my situation. Even though someone tried to have a conversation, I was good at brushing it off and pushing it away.
Yeah.
Which was stunting my growth and stunting me from recovery. I wasn't recovering.
Yeah.
I should have talked about it.
100%.
I should have engaged in a conversation. I should have addressed it because it would not just have helped her. It would have helped me mm-hmm. get through the trigger that just happened that overwhelmed me.
Correct.
I felt like I was in a box and I could not breathe.
Yeah.
The hardest time I've experienced in a long time. And it was one of those where we just said, Dr. Samuel Chan, aha moment. Mm-hmm. I didn't recover.
You never allowed yourself to.
Never allowed myself to. And so I tell you how I got through that because I'll chit-chat you all night. I know you got time.
No, you're okay.
But here's how I've learned how to deal with recovery.
Okay.
By giving God back the same thing he gave you the first time. Mm. When God created man, he gave him breath. He breathed into him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Try breathing. Allow that chest to rise. Allow it to settle. Even if you just get up on the side of the bed in the morning and you know that your job may not be the best place, the people you may be around may not be the best place. If it's quiet in that room and you take one deep breath, the first thing you realize is that you'll fall in love with your breath because it releases that anxiety. And that stressful moment. And it allows you a moment to yourself to think clearly.
Yeah.
And then you get to regain the control. Because even though you sleep, you may not be in control. Because your thoughts may control you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Learn to breathe your way through it. Deep breaths. In the moment of anxiety and frustration, take a deep breath. It's that moment between making a rational and an irrational mm-hmm. decision. Mm-hmm. That deep breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that moment, yeah. right? And just remember, because what brings me to it is that what it sounded like when God breathed into me?
Right. Yeah.
It will relax you, right? I dare you to try it. It'll change your day. It'll change your outlook on things. It'll change how you approach people and things. It encourage you to know that you can get in tight situations and control them by just breathing. You may never get total control of your anxiety, but it's a great start. It's by learning how to breathe. I always say, get you a good counselor, get you a good therapist.
Yeah.
but you still have to learn how to navigate.
You still have to do the work.
You have to learn how to do the work.
Yeah. I love that. I couldn't ask for a better ending for today. And I wanted to seriously thank you for hopping on the podcast with me. I knew that this conversation was going to go super good, but I don't think that I would have been able to predict that it would have been this great. You have a lot of information that you just shared that I do think will help a lot of people. I really do.
I hope so.
I'm going to give you a moment to be able to promote yourself because I know you just entered a new space as a trainer.
I have.
So if I want you to train me, where can I find you? What's the best way to connect to you?
You can connect to me through Butterfly Fitness. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this. I do every kind of training, mm-hmm. right? From athletic training to just recovery mm-hmm. and everything else. But you also get just who I am authentically, which is the ministry part of it. Don't let that scare you, because here's what happens is that it's just encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, we often say even in church, you don't have to be involved to be in church, right? Yeah. You don't have to. My life was always going to reflect what God has done for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to promote God. God promotes himself.
Yeah.
But I like to think I'm a pretty good trainer. I'm thorough and efficient at what I do.
Yeah. I would agree.
And I love what I do. And I often say this, and it's not a catchphrase. I mean it. If you believe you can do it, I'll never let you do it by yourself. I'll go through it with you. Yeah. I'll hold you accountable. I'll hold myself accountable until yeah. we're done. Not only a trainer, but a nutritionist as well. So we'll get you on a good meal plan. You'll learn that I do not say that four-letter word, which is diet. I don't say it because I think that diet causes anxiety.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of it.
So I'm going to make you responsible on how to approach food. We'll give you creative ways, and I have recipes. And that's it. But I appreciate the opportunity. I believed in you a long time, and I'm still a big fan. I encourage you just to keep following. You got a lot on your plate, but you know I believe that you can dot the I's and cross the T's and keep moving.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
No, I appreciate you. And anytime you need me, you got me.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you, seriously. And to all of my listeners, thank you for spending some time with me today as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of productivity and operating as close as possible to 100%.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe. Catch the next episode next Friday. And as always, our goal is to spread mental health awareness and the importance of it as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there is not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. Don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life.